Good afternoon. If you want to come on over, find a seat. I don't have a prelude song to do to alert you. It's time to sit down. Really thankful that we can do this. So thankful that you're here. And you see the chairs set up a little bit differently. So a great thing about this afternoon will be a bunch of time for interaction. Really thankful, Alan, for you being here, for leading us. So let me pray, and we will get started. Father in heaven, we thank you for your good vision for us as your people. We ask for your presence with us today, that you would teach us, that you would bless the conversations, help us to be good listeners, and good at expressing our own stories, and help us to grow together and to learn through this. So we thank you for this time. Pray that you'd bless Alan as he leads us. Help us to be good students and followers and good students of you. Through your son we pray. Amen.
Can you guys hear me? All right, great. Good afternoon. How's everyone doing? Good, good. I'm excited to be here with this group of people. Don't get too comfortable. We're going to mix it up. So you might be hanging on to that person next to you thinking they're going to be your security for the afternoon. They are not. We're going to trust that the Lord is going to be here present with us as we get into these topics. So I came up with the title of this workshop. It's a workshop that I've done in pieces throughout the year in various ways, but I was really excited to take some of those things that I've learned over the years and kind of put it into something that I believe at the end is what really brings about transformation. And that is when you start looking at the story of race and culture through a personal lens. Because race and culture can be one of those things that we kind of look at on the fringes. It's something that we can talk about kind of in the news, or we can talk about, did you hear that story? Or maybe we can watch a movie about it. But I think the goal of this workshop is to make it a personal reflection on your own journey, on the journey of those in this body with you, and then kind of going into what does this mean for us as we live our lives, as we look at eternity. And that's the part that I get excited about. For a lot of people, their journey of understanding race and culture is something that they kind of accidentally fell into. Maybe they ended up in a dorm room with someone who looked a little different to them, and they were like, whoa, I need to understand his worldview, and they were kind of forced into it. For someone like me, who, excuse me, I know who looks Hispanic, but is from Africa, right? And people are like, no, you're not. You're not from Africa. I promise you I am from Africa. I was born and raised in Zambia in South Central Africa. My mom is South African. My dad is Zambian. And the reason I look the way I do is that in South Africa, as you may know, there's a lot of gold and diamonds. And whenever they find gold and diamonds in places, the whole world shows up, right? And so you get a whole mix of people. On my mom's side, it's French, Portuguese, Malaysian. On my dad's side, my wife's actually better at explaining this than I am, but I'll give it a go. My great-grandmother was the daughter of a chief who was given as a gift to a great white hunter from England. And then she married a Scottish, their daughter married a Scottish guy who's my grandfather, and that's why I have the last name Greg. He was in World War II, and after World War II, he was pretty disillusioned with Europe, and he decided that he wasn't going to stay in Europe anymore, and Zambia was a British colony, so he moved to Zambia and started a family there and lived there for the next 50 years and never lost his Scottish accent one single bit. So so for someone like me, trying to figure out this whole race story, race journey, culture story, where do I fit in, has been quite an experience. Very seldom do I ever go into a room where most of the people look like me. In fact, my sister was telling me that The first time she ever felt like she just fit in, she lives in London, but the first time she ever felt like she fit in was when she went to Brazil. And she was like, there's just like people from every shade and color like you can imagine. And she was like, no one asked, like, so what are you? People were just like, you're just you, you know. So so we all have different stories. And I'm really interested in making this workshop be an opportunity for people to share their stories and to ask questions and to get into why has God made us the way he has and what does that mean for us. I just want to tell one more story. I'm African. I love stories because I feel like they really stick with me if I can grasp a story. I think in my experience of understanding how important race was, I felt like God took me from Africa and he brought me to Chicago. And I got to go to seminary at Moody. I lived in some of the dorms there in downtown Chicago. And it was such a fantastic experience. It was an incredible experience of Christian community. And one night, something really stuck out to me. There were some guys on my floor. There was a guy by the name of Hang Tu, a Vietnamese guy who had come over as a 12-year-old refugee to Philadelphia and somehow ended up at Moody with me. There's another guy, Blessed Maduba, from Nigeria. He also lived on our floor. Another guy, Greg Swanberg from Bangor, Maine, who is a basketball coach who decided to become a pastor. There's another guy, Sashihara from Japan. And all of us guys, Robin Koshi from India, all of us guys went down to have dinner one night. And we went down to the little Chinese place called China Doll, which is like the best place because all the taxi drivers eat there. That's what we learned. And we're all sitting there and we're all eating this meal. And I'm just looking around the table at all these guys who are just literally from all over the world, you know, sitting there with us. And I went up to the guy and at the counter and I was getting something from him. And he said, "What's going on here?" He was really suspicious. He's like, what's going on at this table here? He's like, oh, we all live in the same building together. He's like, no, but like, why? I knew what he was asking. He's like, he was seeing something there that he hadn't seen before. And he said to me, this is good. You never see this. This is really good. And it made me realize, man, this thing, just this picture of diversity without words is an incredible witness to a watching world. And the idea that people of different races, different experiences, different backgrounds can break bread together, can love each other, can be genuine friends together. Not like in the commercials where you're like looking and saying, those people would never be friends, you know. Not that kind of stuff, but genuine friendship where people are like, hey, I love this person. This is my brother. We're eating together. We're joking together. And it was really cool to sit there and to say the only thing we really had in common was Jesus. And that's something that the church has that sometimes I wish we would take more advantage of, because I think to a watching world, it's an incredible witness of what the gospel is and who Jesus is. Who he says he is. So we're going to get into this a little bit. And I'm hoping that this is not, I don't want this to be a me talking and you guys listening. We've done that. And so the way I've designed this is that a third of it is going to be a little bit of presentation. A third of it is going to be somewhat of self-reflection. And then a third of it is going to be you in some groups together trying to figure out and answer some questions and go through some hopefully thought-provoking exercises. The goal of the workshop is to give participants a framework to better understand race culture through their own identity and the lens of others, all based on a biblical worldview. The workshop offers individuals and the church together the opportunity to begin the journey together to address tough topics surrounding race and culture that we as a society are dealing with and that the gospel speaks to. You know, I think this topic has really become emphasized in the last year or so. I think it's a topic that we as Christians really need to understand and to get into. It's a conversation that the world is having, and I think we as Christians can really be a compass and really be a light in helping people understand culture, understand differences. And like I was saying in the last story, I think it will be an incredible witness. The more we understand, the better we understand it. So I keep saying race and culture. Here's the definition for race. Any of the traditional divisions of humankind characterized by supposedly distinctive and universal physical characteristics. The key word there is supposedly. Race is it can become a very, very technical term. It can be a very difficult term to define, because as people often say, you know, race is a human construct. It's an idea that we have come up with. It's not something that is necessarily scientific in many ways. In anthropology, it can kind of break down, but we're going to use it just for the sake of a one-on-one discussion. We're going to use it in a very simple, everyday use understanding of the word race. The word culture, the sum total of ways of living built up by a group of human beings and transmitted from one generation to another. So culture is just really a reflection of a group of people, ways that they develop, traditions that they develop, foods that they cook. We're going to kind of use that, again, very loosely, very normative, just kind of how we use it in today's language. I don't want to make it too complicated. Before we get into groups and we start discussing some things, I do have a preface, and I want to speak about comfort level. Oftentimes having conversations about race can make people pretty uncomfortable. The workshop is not designed to do that. What we really want is we want to be considerate of how much or how little people want to share. We're not going to get into, you know, complicated opinions. We're not going to get into political stuff. But I really would like if people feel like, hey, I want to share my story. I want to be able to present my perspective and not feel judged for having that perspective. And so as we do that, I hope that we can help each other feel comfortable. Like I said before, too, I'd like our stories to kind of be focused on ourselves. I know sometimes it can become easier to talk about something else that's out there. But maybe if we can say, hey, this is I'm going to try to talk about my experience, my story, and therefore that will help you kind of weave through to where I believe God wants to take us. And so focusing on your own story and the story of this body as a church is incredibly important for this conversation. I think we can offer each other the opportunity to feel free to ask questions. If someone's sharing something or an opinion, you know, and you're not sure what they meant, feel free to ask questions. You yourself might be trying to process something and understand something. You know, even as we're speaking right now, you know, and I might go over a few things and you're not exactly sure what I'm saying. Just, you know, throw your hand up or shout out and ask a question. Yeah, I love it when people are able to interact and process out loud. As we get into a few things, if you feel like you want to say something and it's burning on your heart, or you have a example that you want to share, again, go ahead and share it. This here, as I said, you know, people sharing their own story is really important. Allow someone to share what they personally have experienced and not necessarily saying, well, you know, I don't look at Vietnam that way, or, you know, it's best to allow people to say, hey, this was my reality growing up. If you grew up in Flint or you grew up wherever, you know, sharing about what it was like for you and allowing the person to present their perspective from there. Another thing that I've often found in trying to have conversations about race is people oftentimes want to be politically correct. And this can become a very difficult conversation, because what happens is we end up tripping over our words, trying not to offend people. And that, of course, is understandable. But I think in this conversation, if you can, what I like to call offering an umbrella of grace. And that means when we have conversations and we don't say things the way we maybe they didn't come out right, and maybe we don't know the right term to describe someone, and we, you know, we kind of can tend to shut down. If you're hearing something and maybe, you know, you hear someone say something and it feels like a little awkward to you, just be okay with it. Just offer that person grace, because we're all here trying to get on the same page and understand what God has for us. Yes. Yeah, so oftentimes people may not know how to speak about an African-American person, okay? And so someone may say, well, this black guy came up to me, and, oh, am I allowed to say that? Or they might be talking about an Indian person, or is it Native American? Or, you know, and then we kind of end up not being sure how to speak about people in ways that end up being like, I'm just not going to say anything because I don't feel like this is safe. You guys know what I'm saying? Okay. So I think to have this conversation, this is a very important piece of moving forward, because if you want to process as a group together, you have to have the willingness to extend grace to someone who may say something that maybe makes you feel uncomfortable, or maybe asks a question that you're like, really? You're asking that question? I don't want people to feel like that, because that is not constructive for where we're going, because this is a journey. And the truth of this journey is no one has arrived there. There's no sort of like, you know, oh, those people have got it. I don't understand, like, a lot of this stuff. It's one of those things of, oh, I've started to explore and read and understand this journey of race and culture, and I still feel like I don't know anything. And so I think we have to offer each other grace in moving forward with these conversations. I want to introduce you to a Zulu word called Ubuntu. Is anyone familiar with that word? Maybe some computer guys? Zulu, yeah? Yeah, Ubuntu. It is a great Zulu word. It's horribly translated as human kindness. I am what I am because of who we all are. It is the idea of people belonging to each other, that we are interconnected to each other, and that we belong, and I love how Desmond Tutu says it here, Ubuntu is very difficult to render into a Western language. It speaks of the very essence of being human. My humanity is inextricably bound up in yours. We belong in a bundle of life. It's an African term. It's even in the South African Constitution, but it really speaks about we are connected in a story together. We are because I am because you are. It's this idea that we as human beings have one story that is bound up in our human experience. And I think this word is used in so many different areas right now. But one of the things that I love about it is I think in the gospel this word applies really perfectly, because we're really part of God's story, his story of redemption, his story of the church, and his story of a unified church that he is washing clean until the day that he returns. And I think John, just as you were speaking this morning, my heart was like, yes, this is exactly it. A united church that Christ is bringing together, that God is bringing together under Christ. And we'll get a little bit more into that. But I like this idea, and I think as we get into it, it will make more sense to you. So what I want to do is I want us to start with a little bit of an icebreaker. So everyone needs to get up for a little bit. We're going to get into some sort of big circle, if we can do that. We don't have to move the chairs, just kind of over the chairs we can do that. Okay, so this is really just an exercise to help us realize that we're all in this together, and hopefully it will make you guys feel a little more comfortable. I'm going to just read out a question at a time, and if you have experienced one of these things, you can put your hand forward, you can put your hand up, or let's do it hands up. Have you ever gotten out of a traffic ticket? Wow. Should drive with you guys. Have you ever gotten out of a traffic ticket? Yeah. You should have gotten the ticket and somehow you got out of it. Yeah. Have you ever lived overseas more than 1 year? Who has lived the furthest from here? Okay. That's true. Have you ever sung karaoke? A lot of singers here. All right. Have you ever been without a shower for more than 2 weeks? Well, there's not a lot of honest people here. Do you have both a brother and a sister? Brother and a sister, okay. Have you ever ridden a horse or a camel? Wow. Have you ever eaten frog legs? Okay. Can you speak three or more languages? Canadian is not a language. What languages are they? Okay. Wow. I am the only African I know who speaks one language. But I have a good Australian accent. Have you ever been in love with someone who was a vegetarian? No? No? All right. Have you swum in three or more different oceans? Okay. Have you ever flown an airplane as the pilot? Only one, huh? Have you broken a bone in your body? Yeah. Anyone want to share which bone? What's the biggest bone that's been broken in this room? Not yours. Oh, Femur?
Well, north.
Femur. Oh. Ouch.
Yeah. I have a rod in my forearm.
All right. Have you danced in the last month? Have you ever free climbed a tree or rock face more than 10 meters vertically? Thirty feet. Some climbers, yeah. Sorry, metric. Have you ever had a close relative who lived to be over 100 years old? Yep. Have you ever been the main cook, head chef, for a meal for more than 20 people? Some cooks here, that's good. All right. Have you ever had a pet bird? Yeah? Have you ever fallen off a bicycle? All right. I'm not alone. Okay. Have you ever been parachuting or done a bungee jump? No? Wow. That's bungee jump. Have you ever seen an endangered species in the wild? As in not in a zoo? Yeah. Endangered. Anyone want to share? What did you see? Yeah? Black rhino. Wow. All right. Let's see, two more to go. Can you roll your tongue? I have tried, I cannot. And last one, have you ever high-fived a stranger?
Yeah.
Total stranger, yeah? Right, if you haven't, find someone here you don't know and high-five them. Okay, we're gonna break into groups now. The point of this silly exercise is just to see that we have things in common. We've experienced life in different ways. We are pretty normal people, right? But what we're going to do now is make you a little uncomfortable. We're going to break into groups. I think there's a couple of leaders here who need to kind of step out of the circle. But I'm going to give you a number. I think we're going to do, I think, five groups. No. Yeah. Let's do five groups. So ones can be in a group over here, twos over here, threes, fours, fives. Okay, so you're one, two, three, four, five. 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 Wait, no, you're not in a group. You're a five. And then one, two, three, four. Okay. So ones find each other, twos find each other's. Yeah, if you have a notebook or whatever, that would be good. Okay. Yeah, these are great groups. Good. Okay, I have a couple of questions, and you guys are going to share in your little group together. You know, take as much time as you need. But the questions will be up on the screen, and you can work through them one at a time. Again, share as much or as little as you feel comfortable with. And these questions will kind of help getting into to where we're going. So I hope they're helpful. Share the story of your name, where it comes from, what your name means. This helps to build intercultural respect and understanding. Names are really, really powerful. I think they're really interesting to understand, you know, not only just, you know, what your name means, but how did you get it? Do you have a great aunt that you were named after, or do you like your name? You know, share a little bit about your name. Both, if you want. Three, old six, whatever you choose. and then we're going to talk a little bit about grandparents, and as much as you can, as much as you understand or know about them, describe your impression of the world they grew up in. Try to remember any stories that are significant that they told or that perhaps stood out to you about their culture, their race. Share about significant experience when you realized you were a minority. Perhaps you were on a mission trip and you were like, wow, I am the only white person in this room. Perhaps you were at class at MSU and you're like, wow, I'm the only person of color in this room. Whatever that might be, share an experience that you had as a minority. And then share about an experience when you were not a minority and what that felt like. And we'll get further into that. So, yeah, everyone, I think if people go with the first question, go around the group and share, and then you can move on as your group feels comfortable with. So go for it.